Take your copy of God's Word and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. I plan to use just one or two verses of Scripture, but I might read a few more to go along with that passage. Hebrews, chapter 2. As we think about the theme, you are formed for God's family. I wonder sometimes how often we think about the fact that God created us to be a part of His family. And the way you get into His family is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people seem to take church membership for granted today, so I want to talk about that a little bit today in a unique kind of way. Paul, well, the writer of Hebrews, some say Paul and some say others, but the Holy Spirit's the ultimate author, amen, writes this, "For it was fitting for Him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies or is sanctifying and those who are sanctified or being sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will you sing your praises." Being part of the family of God, I wonder how many people today, and even church members, know what a blessing it is to be a part of the family of God. As a part of the family of God, you have been called into something wonderful. Think about it. If the richest man in the world were to adopt a child, that would be absolutely phenomenal. The President of the United States were to adopt a child, the implications of that would be staggering. But listen, think about it. Because you and I have been adopted into the family of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the implications are absolutely beyond comprehension if you take the time to stop and think about it. What a blessing it is. Hebrews 2:10 declares in another translation this, "God is the one who made all things, and all things are for His glory. He wanted to have many children share His glory." God wanted a family. Folks, that's why we're here today. He wanted children. And the Bible says He planned everything in the entire universe so that we could be born, so that we could share in His glory, so that we could be a part of His family. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:5, His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. Now you think about that. The Word of God is the story of God building a family. That's what it's all about. It's why we have history. By the way, someone is writing to say history is His story. It's about God and His reaching out to you and me. It's about God building a family. And think about it. This family that we have is going to last, not just here on earth. It's going to last forever and ever and ever and ever in eternity. The family you are part of as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is an eternal family. You were made to last forever. 1 Peter 2:17 declares, "Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Another way to state that is honor all people, love brothers and sisters. Why? Because we're part of the family of God. Love your spiritual family. That's what God wants us to do. God says, I want you to learn to love the people in your family. Why? Well, there are several reasons. First of all, your physical family is going to eventually fall apart. In fact, many of them fall apart here on earth. It's not going to last. But your spiritual family is going to last forever. You're going to spend more time with your spiritual family than you are with your physical family. So God wants us to learn how to love our spiritual family. Why does God want us to learn to love them? Well, there are some good reasons for this. Good reasons why. First of all, loving our spiritual family makes us more like God. Why? Because God is love. Secondly, He wants His children to learn to get along together. The psalmist said in Psalm 133, how wonderful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We want our children to get along together in the family at home, don't we? You know how disruptive it is when the children just fuss and fight like cats and dogs all the time in the home. It's not a pleasant experience, is it? Well, it's even worse in church among God's people. We have no business fighting like cats and dogs in the church. Why? It's a denial of who we are and of what the Bible teaches us about how we're to live. We're part of God's family. He wants His children to learn how to get along together. Why? It's a practice for eternity. One of the things you are going to do in heaven is love God. Another thing you're going to do is you're going to love other believers that are there. It is going to be a place of love. Listen, you need to understand something. One of our purposes in life is fellowship. Fellowship. That's the word the Bible uses to describe loving each other. How would you describe fellowship? Is it just a casual conversation like we have here a lot of times out in the hallways when we talk about ball games and fishing and you name it, and working and whatever we're going to do? I submit to you that's not really fellowship that God's talking about. We're just chewing the fat, just talking. That's not real fellowship. But fellowship is this. Think about it. Fellowship is loving God's family. And that's fellowship. Loving God's family. 1 John 4:21 says, the person who loves God must love other believers also. We have to love other believers. How do we do that? The Bible tells us how in 1 Timothy Chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Paul says, I'm writing to you so that you'll know how to live in the family of God. That family is the church. Listen, we need to understand something. You heard me say it many times before. The church is not a building. It's not an institution. It's not an organization. It's not a club. The church is an organism. It's a living thing. It's you and me. We are the body of Christ. Church is family. We say it so many times, well, I'm going to church, as if the church is a place you go to. That's not correct. Church is not a place you go to. Church is a family you belong to. You see the difference? Church is not a place you go to. It's a family you belong to. But I'm afraid many of us have overlooked and forgotten that concept and that true meaning of the church. It's a big difference in the two. It's more than a building. It's more than a service. It's a family. And we belong to the family. The truth is, there are four levels of fellowship in God's family that we're going to look at this morning very quickly. The first level of fellowship in God's family is membership. It is choosing to belong. Membership, choosing to belong. This means that you find a church family and you choose to get connected to it. This is the most basic level of fellowship. It's a membership choice. It's a matter of belonging, and you and I must choose to belong. Fellowship begins with belonging. God wants you to be a part of His family. When you were born, you were automatically became a part of the human race. You're the product of a love relationship between your parents. Hopefully, that's the way it happened. You were brought into the family. You didn't have a choice. I didn't have a choice to being born into the Mooney family. But I was born into that family. But you do have a choice to belong to the family of God. God gives you that choice. It's a choice that people must make. You choose to belong to the family of God, the church. Some say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't want to belong to any church. That doesn't make any sense, folks. Never has, never will. You see, the church is where you live out what it means to be a Christian. That's like saying, I'm a baseball player, but I don't want to be a part of a team. That just won't work, will it? It's like saying, a bee that says, I don't want to be a part of the hive. It's like a soldier who doesn't want to be a part of a platoon. It just doesn't work that way. A Christian without a church family is an orphan. And God meant for us to be a part of a family. He wants us to be adopted into His family, the family of God. So it's a membership choice, but it is also a meaningful choice when you stop and think about it. The Bible says in Romans 12, 5, in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. It's a meaningful choice that we make. In this decision we make, you belong to every other Christian. We're members together. It is at this point that I am alarmed because we have lost much of our sense of belonging to one another, of being a part of the body of Christ. We need to attach ourselves to a group of believers where we say, I want to be a part of what's going on here. I would remind all of us, Jesus loves the church, and you and I need the same kind of love. Jesus called the church the body. We need to have the same kind of respect for His body, to recognize what it means as we have for our own physical family. What if I said to you, no, you know I love you, I just can't stand your body? How would you feel? I don't think I'd get a very positive response. What do you think about it? What if I said to you, I love you, but I can't stand your wife? How would you like that? I want to remind you of something. You and I are the bride of Christ. Not only are we the body of Christ, we're the bride of Christ. And if you tell somebody who's a part of the bride of Christ, I can't stand you, what do you say? You're saying, really, I don't like Jesus either. The Bible says we're to love one another. We're to love Jesus like He loved us. We might not like all the activities and actions and things that people say. I've had a hard time with some folks sometimes, but it doesn't change the fact the Bible says I am to love fellow believers. Don't have to like their ways sometimes, but we're to love them. That's what the Bible teaches us. I've experienced that. We're to love one another. It's a meaningful choice. You see, in this decision we make, we belong to every other Christian. We are members together. The church is the bride of Christ. Folks, think about it. He gave Himself for His bride, and we need to have the same kind of love for this body by deciding, by choosing to belong. There's a symbol of the fact that we belong together. It's a picture that God gives us. It's called baptism. By the way, this Sunday is Baptism Sunday. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were baptized to half a dozen or a dozen people today? We ought to be. It's a shame that we're not. Baptism is the picture that we belong together in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says this, "This is what we proclaimed in word and action when we were baptized. Each of us is now a part of His resurrection body." Baptism is a public way of saying, I'm a part of a group of believers and I'm excited to belong to this group of believers. Romans chapter 6 verse 3 says it this way. That's what water baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it's like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. You see, baptism is a public way of saying we died to an old way of life. We are living a new way of life now. So baptism is a visible symbol of the commitment of a person's heart. It's like this wedding ring that I've got on my finger. It says, I have made a commitment to my wife, Peggy, to love her and cherish her and nourish her, pray for her and stay with her and till death do us part. It's a commitment of love. Same thing in the body of Christ. We made a commitment of love to one another. And we dare not break that loving vow. I'm not ashamed. It's saying, I'm not ashamed to tell the world that I believe in Jesus Christ and I belong to His body, the church. You see, fellowship begins with membership, choosing to belong. Isn't it wonderful to know we can choose to belong to a local body of believers? But hey, it goes beyond just this local body of believers. We belong to the universal body of Christ. We have a humongous family in the world of believers all around the world. And we all belong to one another as a part of His body. That's the first level of fellowship. Membership. Choosing to belong. The second level of fellowship is friendship. learning to share. We are created in God's image, so we were made for relationships. The Bible tells us that God said in the very beginning, it's not good for man to be alone. So we were made for each other. Life is not a solo flight, and we need friends. The Bible says this in Acts 2:44, that all the believers met together constantly and shared everything with each other. They had all things in common, is another translation. They are shared together, supporting one another. Listen, you cannot develop friendships without meeting together, and you can't develop friendships without sharing together. The more frequently we meet together, the closer we get. The best place for that to happen is in our small groups in church. We call that, some call it small groups, some call of it Sunday school, but it goes beyond that. There's also WMU, special meetings, Baptist men. There's also discipleship training. There are different groups, the choir. Meeting together in different groups can be a wonderful time of developing relationships in a more intimate way. And I've been so grateful to see what has been taking place in the last months here at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church. When we first came here as your pastor, whenever the benediction was said, you were gone. Now you stand around and talk and fellowship with one another and love one another. And you do it when you come in. That's wonderful. I'm so glad to see that, but it needs to grow. And we need to reach out and get others to be brought into this wonderful kind of friendship, learning to share with one another. You see, we need one another. That's why I'm so concerned about our recent statistics for the last 5 or 6 weeks. Our Sunday school has just plummeted. I don't understand that. It bothers me. It ought to bother all of us. We need to be increasing rather than decreasing. You see, relationships don't just happen. We have to work at those relationships. But we seem to be too busy achieving, too busy working, too busy doing other things. But we must be willing to put the time into meeting together, getting together, to make it a priority in our lives. And until we do, we are not going to develop any deep friendships. They don't just happen. We have to work at it. They happen because you choose to make the time for them. It's just not luck. It's a choice. You can't develop friendships without sharing. The Bible says they shared everything. What are we to share with each other? First of all, we're to share our experiences. Proverbs 27:17 said, people learn from one another just as iron sharpens iron. We learn from one another. It's wise to learn from the experiences of others because you don't have the time to make all the mistakes yourself. You understand that? You don't have time to make all the mistakes yourself. We make enough. I grant you that. If everything you learn in life you learn personally by trial and error, you're going to go through a lot of problems unnecessarily, and about the time you figure it all out, you're dead. So what do we do? You don't have enough time to learn everything on your own. So God says to you and me that we can short-circuit that process and learn a lot quicker if we learn from the experiences of others. Sharing the wisdom of other people. There's a wealth of knowledge in this church. We can learn from one another if we would just learn to spread it around. I got some news for you. You don't know it all. I don't either. And it's very arrogant to think that you know it all and don't need anybody to tell you that you can't learn from anybody else. And we can continue to learn all the days of our lives. So we can learn from our experiences. I'm so grateful that I had a mentor, a pastor, who I learned from about pastoral ministry. And I cherish that to this very day, what he put into my life to help me to be a pastor. But we can also share our homes. This is an area where we've lost out in recent years in our total society. In the early church, there were no church buildings. They met in homes. We can open our homes up more than we do. We don't know our neighbors like we used to. We're strangers to our next door neighbors. I confess, we're just taking a long time for us to learn some of our neighbors where we live. But I'm talking about a small group setting, learning your neighbor, bring them into your home. Some of the most joyous times that we had when we were at Coach Baptist, when we realized that we were missing out on fellowship, and my wife took the initiative, and she began to invite about once a month about four different families from different age levels, some with children, some with no children, some senior adults, to get them to come together for a meal in our home to get to know one another and to share experiences. And one of them came in, we got real tickled. One of them said to my wife, "What did we do wrong?" They thought we were in trouble because the preacher had invited them to his house. No, it was just for a time of fun and fellowship. And it's wonderful to do something like that. There's another application of this. It is in our small group Bible studies, Sunday school and discipleship training. Some of this could be done in homes. We have so much to share in small group settings, so don't be afraid to do this. A lot of churches now do small groups in the homes when they run out of space in the church. Boy, wouldn't that be a great problem for us to have? Sharing in the homes, opening up to people, being transparent, being vulnerable, being willing to share. There's something else we can share, and we ought to be doing it, and thankfully you do, and that's our problems. We're not to face our problem, not meant to face our problems alone. The Bible says we are to share each other's troubles and problems. Another way you're more familiar with it, we're to bear one another's burdens. You've heard it so many times, but it's true. When you share a joy, it's doubled, but when you share a problem, it's cut in half. In small groups, sometimes you double up with laughter, and sometimes you're shedding a tear. Why? It depends on what is going on in your group at that particular time. By the way, we don't have to fix everybody's problems. We need to understand that. God hasn't told us to do that, but He says we can share them. Have a shoulder to cry on, a listening ear. We don't have to be like a chatterbox telling everybody, giving advice. One of the best things you can do is be a listener and love them. You'll never get to this second level of fellowship until you get into a small group. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Instead, let us encourage one another. Encourage one another. The primary purpose of a group is to encourage each other. That's the second level of fellowship, is friendship. The third level of fellowship is partnership. Partnership. Doing our part. Partnership is realizing that I have a contribution to make. God didn't bring you to Mount Pisgah Baptist Church to sit and soak and sour in some spiritual spa. He brought you here to serve. He wants to make a difference through your life. In every family, there are responsibilities. When I get back to the book of Romans, as we go through those spiritual gifts, we'll talk about each one of those spiritual gifts. And maybe you have one of those spiritual gifts. And I'll get back to the book of Romans one day. But until then, I felt like there were some basic things we needed to look at to better understand who we are as a people of God and what we need to be doing as a church family. This is a Christian family. It's God's family. You divide up the chores and you do your own part like we do in the home. Every one of us has a part. The Bible is filled with the fact that you and I are to work with one another, to serve one another, to love one another, to pray with one another and cry with one another. It even says we have to put up with one another when we're doing all of these things. That's how it works together. This is love in action, not just in words. You see, it's great to share your heart. That's level two. But it's even greater to do your part. That is what level three is all about. I want to say something about partnership, doing our part. It must be a determined partnership. Determined partnership. Partners stick together in the good times and the bad times to make an enterprise, and I would say to make a church work. We're going to go through some bad times. We're going to have some good times. and true partnerships based on dedicated membership and a sincere friendship will demonstrate itself in a viable, real partnership. They'll stick together through thick and thin. The Bible says we are partners working together for God. It takes teamwork to succeed in any endeavor. You're part of the greatest team that ever was in the church. What we do is going to last forever. We are part of the greatest enterprise that ever existed, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to be determined that we're going to keep on keeping on no matter what. We're going to go forward following the Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation. Determined to follow Him no matter what. But not only is it to be a determined partnership, it's to be a dynamic partnership. The Bible says the whole body is fitted together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. It's teamwork, sharing together. And we need to be together in all that we do. Teamwork. I guess I'll date myself, but I remember I'm a baseball fan. I grew up, I played more baseball than I did any other sport. But I remember years ago, the Pittsburgh Pirates had a great team. They were playing for the World Series. And they were down in one particular game. And one of their star players, Willie Stargell, had injured himself. He was hopping around on his leg. Roger, you can understand pain in the leg. But they were down, and so they brought Willie Stargell to the plate to let him be a pinch hitter. The last inning of that game, Willie Stargell hit a home run, and he limped around. He barely made it around the bases, limping badly. And as he came in home, that stadium went wild. But he said something at the end of it. Not all about me, it's about us. We're a family. That's what's kept us together through all of this. We are family. And that family had a winning attitude. And that's what it's going to take for us as a church. We are family, and we must have that same kind of winning attitude, even when it's difficult, even when it hurts, going forward as a part of the body of Christ, a dynamic partnership, a doing our part. They won by teamwork, and we win by teamwork, everybody doing their part. But it not only must be a determined partnership and a dynamic partnership, it must be a devoted partnership. You have to you have a part to play in the body of Christ. And when we cooperate, we get more done together than we could ever get done by ourselves. So there's an attitude, there's a heart attitude that is the key to all of this. We need to see that we are doing it for Jesus Christ. Most of us are familiar with the little Catholic nun, Mother Teresa. She ministered to the poorest people of Calcutta, India. On one occasion, she was asked, "How do you handle all the death and disease on a daily basis? How do you do the tough things when it comes to serving?" Here was her answer. She said this, "Every person I bathe, every bandage I place on a sickly person, I imagine seeing the face of Jesus, and I do it for Him." Isn't that to be our approach? Isn't that to be our attitude? Listen to what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 25. He said, "When the Son of Man," beginning in verse 31, "when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another. The shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer Him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. That's the attitude we must have in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, in serving through the body of Christ. So if you want to experience a deeper level of fellowship, look for a practical need in your group, in our fellowship, in this community. Just do some practical thing and watch what it does for your relationship. Watch what it does for your fellowship with one another. How you'll be blessed. Partnership. That's the third level of fellowship, doing my part. The fourth level of fellowship is probably the one key to making all the other three work like it ought to. And that's kinship, loving believers like family. This is the deepest level of fellowship. It means your closest family. It is loving believers like family. You're completely committed to them. Acts 2:42 says they were like family to each other. We must realize that we are family. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to each other like a loving family. And I'll say that word that we don't like to hear. It's about commitment. That's a word that we shy away from, commitment. The word for fellowship in the Bible is the Greek word koinonia. And the basic root means being as committed to each other as we are to Jesus Christ. That is family relationship. That's family kinship. That's saying, I'm at the level of being willing to sacrifice for you. We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, folks, 1 John 3:16 is just as important. It says this, we know what real love is because Christ gave up His life for us. And so we also ought to give up our lives for our Christian brothers and sisters. This is the deepest level of fellowship, sacrificing for each other. It's the kind of love that Jesus has for you and me. He died for us, folks. We must never forget that. He died for you and me. The Bible talks about the fellowship of suffering, but quite honestly, we in America know almost nothing about this level of fellowship. Christians overseas do. I've encountered some Christians who suffered for their faith when we made those four trips to China and to Belarus. We encountered people who suffered for their faith. But how do we get to this deepest level? Here. We do it by standing with other believers in a crisis. When everybody else walks out, we walk in. We're there for them in the tough times. You were there. You've been there. In the month of July, when this church hosted those around 100 people, those 3 weeks, the total, preparing meals for them to go out and minister to people somewhere else outside of this community and in this community. That's commitment. And only God in heaven knows the rewards that will be meted out because of that kind of commitment. Life is about loving God and loving each other. If we miss this, we have missed the purpose of our lives, and we are pitiful people. Because life is not about accomplishments, it's about relationships. We were put here on this earth to know God and to love Him and to know His family and to love them, because that's whom we're going to spend eternity with. And we be about the task of bringing more people into the family of God. By the way, I don't know how many times you've been at the bedside of a dying person. Did you ever hear a person who was on their deathbed say, would you bring me my diploma where I graduated from college, and let me see what kind of degrees I got? Did you ever hear that person say, would you bring me my checkbook and let me see how much money I got in the bank and what my financial holdings are? And did you ever hear anybody say, bring me my gold watch they gave me in celebration of my retirement from all the deeds I did at my vocation? No, I've been by the bedside of many dying saints. Never heard of one of them ask for any of these things. But what they want? Family. Family. Could be their nuclear family, could be their spiritual family. They've wanted both there to be with them in that crucial time. Loving God, that's called worship. Loving each other, that's called fellowship. Folks, they go together. John 13:35 says, by this we'll all know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. People are looking for love. How do you know? But the question becomes, how do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are in God's family? How do you know personally? There are three verses that will test if you are really a Christian or not. Three verses. You might want to write them down. 1 John 3:10 says this. Anyone who does not love other Christians does not belong to God. Folks, that's what the Bible says, not me. That's a powerful statement. I'll read it again. Anyone who does not love other Christians does not belong to God. The second verse is 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. Those who do not love their brothers and sisters whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have never seen. Eye-opening, isn't it? Then 1 John 3:14, but if we love our Christian brothers, it proves that we have passed from death to eternal life. Folks, that's the proof. Plain and simple. Can't get any clearer. The greatest privilege you and I will ever be offered in life is a privilege of being a part of God's family. God's family is a laboratory for learning to love. We may not always get it exactly right, but we're to keep working at it. We learn to love real people, and that's what God put us on earth to do. So I ask you this morning, which of these levels of fellowship are you at? Have you made it to the first one? Have you chosen to belong? Have you chosen the fellowship of membership, choosing to belong? What about, have you learned to share by being a friend? By magnifying your fellowship with friendship. What about, have you moved to the other level of partnership, doing your part? That's commitment. Are you there? And what about the deepest level of kinship? Loving believers like family. Are you doing your part? Even more basic, are you a part of God's family today? You are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says. And if you're not, if you've not made that first basic step, you can do that today. Become a part of the family of God through membership. Where are you today? A hymn of decision, trusting Jesus, 515. What a great hymn for us to close with. Would you come? Whatever decision you need to make, would you come as we stand and sing?
Into this poor heart of mine. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly. Trusting as the days go by. Trusting Him, whatever befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Singing if my way is clear, praying if the path be drear, if in danger for Him call, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him, whate'er befall, trusting Jesus, that is all.
Thou, church, through transfer of letter from Shell Point Baptist Church. What is the pleasure of this body?
Amen.
Mary, it's a covenant of love that I talked about in this sermon that we've made with you, and we'll not break that covenant. We're delighted you've chosen to make this official. You've been a part of us for a long time and been coming and been faithful. You've been through a lot, but God will continue to bless you and use you here as a testimony, and He has a place for you to serve, and you've already been serving Him, helping others. God bless you. I want you to stand here. I'll ask the church family to come by and welcome her into this fellowship with all the rights, privilege, and all the responsibilities that go along with this church membership. Gary, would you lead us in a closing prayer?